Some much sadder music, like the sad music that was at the end was playing through the whole thing, and I was just like, I can't do this, because I think he would probably be pissed at us for for doing that. You know what I mean? I don't see him as being the guy who's like, yeah, I want you all to sit around and cry about me while I'm
No,
not there.
I think you prefer a Motley Crue cover band playing Kickstart My Heart. I
Oh,
think
fuck.
that's the kind of
Oh,
humor. I think that's the kind of
shit.
humor Todd would have. I was
If he
about
could
to
make
make
a
a joke at
joke
his
at
own
his own expense.
expense, he would do it.
I was like, dude, did you really just say that? But you know what? You're right. He's, oh man, when we
We would
post
all
this,
do the same thing.
we'll actually put the full fledged. There's some audio from some of the recordings we did with him, where he was just kind of talking about how like he's always happy and he's always looking for the bright side of life and stuff. So we'll put that at the finished version of this whenever we post whatever we post.
Nice little acre of our own, and
Yeah.
we're on a hill at the top of it, so we look out over just trees and everything else like that. And because we own the whole area behind us, we'll never have to worry about those trees going down or our view being obstructed. So. If you lose me, it's because of a thunderstorm. That sound you just heard here was a lightning strike that was like right out of our backyard. That always works because I'm usually in my studio probably, I don't know, 6, 7 hours a day anyway. So when you send a message, it's like, can you record these? I'm like, oh, the mic's right here. So
Yeah, like,
yeah, I guess.
I'm in the middle of shit right now, Dave. Thanks for asking.
I guess I'll just do this thing plugged in every time from now on. That's what I get for trusting a battery.
But yeah, since this is the memorial for our buddy Todd Dub TW Brown, I guess I don't know. Like, I think that was the best way you could have started it, Steve, was like that, a joke like that, and just maybe we just kind of chill and talk about what we remember. I think the shock of this really still hasn't worn off of me completely yet, so I don't even know how to start. But if anyone has a memory that comes to mind right away, or if anything like when you thought about we were going to do this, what's sort of the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear his name, or even if you hear his voice, or see him on any of our previous live streams, or any of the millions of ways that he's actually going to live on, which is awesome, but still kind of sad. So, anyone else want to take it away?
Say I met him on one of these hangouts too. I don't know if it was Haver or one of the State of the Union addresses or whatever, where I first met him through Drew and you guys. And for somebody who wrote horror so well, I was expecting like this kind of very dark, very brooding kind of author figure, like a very deep baritone voice, intimidating guy. And I honestly don't think I've ever met anyone more warm and welcoming and friendly. That, the dichotomy between the work he would write and later record and how he was as a person was so crazy distinct. Like, he was so nice to me, even though he didn't know me from a guy in the street, He was such a great guy. I really don't think it's hit me until, like, we're doing this now. Like, I kept waiting for somebody to post something saying, like, sorry, it was a hoax. My account got hacked. Yeah, but then you saw a bunch of the same thing being posted. That was You know, it's tough, definitely. But he was such a great, great guy. And I don't think I know anybody who's worked harder or been able to pump out more material at such a high quality faster.
Seriously.
I really
man.
Don't. Like one of the last hangouts we did with him, he talked about how he was writing, doing audiobooks, doing that other recording, producing, self-producing a bunch of stuff, doing the hangouts with us. It was like, oh my God.
Yeah, and I kind of felt like
insane. It makes me feel like a piece of shit.
Yeah, and he would like take time out of that empire to hang out with all of us. You know what I mean? And he would take it just as seriously. Everything was on that same level. It wasn't like anything was.
I think Dave asked him once to break down like his day to day. Like, how do you fit all this in? And he was like, "Well, it's pretty simple. Like, I wake up at the ass crack of dawn. I start writing. I record. I write more. And then, you know, I wrote a book 2 months ago, so it's about time for another one." And it's like, "Oh my God, man!"
Yeah.
Like if I write, you know, Drew. Like if I write like 3 pages in a day, I'm like, "Job well done. Good job, buddy."
I'm feeling all right. Feeling all right.
You'd write a novel a week. The guy was a machine. And I remember talking about that, so the Iron Man competitions and stuff like that. And
how
he's a massive, massive Seahawks fan. Made some jokes at his expense because of that, and he would fire right back.
I feel like I should have, maybe I should work on that slideshow a little more to include some of the Seahawks stuff, because I was just pulling stuff off of Facebook, and, you know, definitely.
Yeah, no, it was beautiful.
Man, did any of us, did we all bring our mugs? I didn't bring my mug. Whoever's got the mugs, let's do a mug call. I'm going to do my cup for now, but he definitely...
Sponsored by Sam Adams.
You can't really tell because it's black and white.
Mm. Like Scotland, right? Isn't Scotland just black and white?
Pretty much. We're in the Dark Ages.
Oh, man. Yeah, but he would break...
So
radio just died here. That's how fucking old we are.
Just died, literally today, or yesterday, maybe.
It's
been a rough couple weeks for announcements from everybody at the Terra Firma Artists Union.
I know, right? Shit.
Dear Lord.
I was saving that for the end of this.
Well, now let's get all the hard stuff out of the way so we could laugh about it, I guess. You know? But,
that was my first impression of Todd. He was so warm and welcoming and hardworking. Like, mm-hmm. I've honestly never seen before. Not to knock anybody here. Nobody worked like he did. And put out the quality. Like, it's not just the speed in which he would do it. Like, I read one of his books that he sent us, and it was awesome. It was tremendous.
Yeah. And he had a great story, too, you know, for those of us who I'm sure knew various details of it. And we were planning on doing a big kind of, there was a time when there was a plan for a show over at Hollow Nine called The Telling, which was going to be people telling really incredible stories about their lives. And we do it like almost like a 60 minutes kind of thing where you don't even hear the interviewer. It's just all them. And we were actually waiting until 2021 to do his episode. So that's one of the things that I think is going to be hard to avoid bringing up during this chat, which we're celebrating his life, is that we still had, for as busy as he was and for as much as we all did together, there were so many plans and there were so many things we talked about being ready to do and wanting to do. And I think I feel a little weird realizing that every once in a while, because it's even things like, holy crap, do I want to recast his part in Tangent City when we bring it back? Or do I just want to kill the character off and bring in somebody new? Because I kind of feel like no matter what, he was that character. You know what I mean? And it's sort of that kind of stuff where I'm like, I shouldn't even be thinking about that shit right now because he's gone and it's too soon. But you realize there were so many things that we just kind of like left, you know what I mean? I think that's one of the things that I was the most upset about, was how I've been meaning to reach out and meaning to talk to him for a while, and it's been a couple months, and that's where those, you know, shit, every one of those 5 minutes where I could have done this or done that and I didn't make the call, and now I'm kind of feeling like, man, I really miss this guy a lot. But yeah, I think it's cool that we're getting to do this. I like to think that he's watching too, so we got to keep it upbeat. So that means I got to stop talking for a minute, probably.
No, and seriously, Dave, I'd like to follow up on what you were saying there with Tangent City, because I had written a part that I kind of wanted to approach him about with that subplot that we had been working on, and. Yeah, and it's silly to realize how easily you can lose touch with people over time while you're still putting stuff together. And it's really embarrassing to me that I didn't keep in touch with him nearly as much as I feel like I should have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel that.
For how much instantly the loss was felt. Drew, I'm going to stop cutting you off because it's twice you went to the mic and somebody started talking to you. we're doing what we did to Blaine during that State of the Union address.
That's pretty much what I do to anyone on any show. Getting a taste of it back myself. Here's the thing. I've known him for, I think, 2 years, but I can't actually remember how I was introduced to him.
Yeah.
At all. And that's one of the weirdest parts about it. It's just, it just seems to have always been there. I don't know how all that came about.
Because he wasn't a podcaster, right, before he met us. It was he was just a novelist and an audiobook talent with a whole separate life as an audiobook talent for what she's talked about, so it's not like we're letting anything out of the closet.
Yeah.
No pun intended. But he was the premier male erotica voice for audiobooks, like celebrity level. You know what I mean? We
crazy,
were hanging out with
crazy
royalty from another world. And it didn't, it was funny how he would even, I don't think he was embarrassed, but you know, when he would tell you about it, he was ready to give you the story of why and how did this happen? And hey, I'm paying my bills, man. I remember there was one of his, like, the money spends wherever, you know, wherever you got it from, the money spends. So if I'm paying for my life this way, who cares? And I'm like, the machine is in your house. So by all means, let it print cash. Let it do that.
Yeah. No, I remember that with one of the first hangouts. He was like, I'm just so happy to be hanging with you guys. Thanks for having me on. And I was like, what are you kidding? It's great to have you here, guy. You're the talent here.
We were actually interviewing you this whole time, man. We just happened to get all this other stuff that was, like, usable and good.
Yeah, but for, like, a guy who wasn't a podcaster, you would think he absolutely could have been, you know? There's other people who we've been and done shows with, you go like, I understand why they do what they do, or like, don't do podcasts. He was not one you'd be like, he could do this, he could do that, he could do everything. Yeah. Which I think that's pretty apparent, the fact that he wasn't pigeonholed into one thing. He kept branching out, and he was good at everything.
Yeah,
pissing me off, he was good at everything. Anything he touched, he was good at.
Even that Iron Man triathlon when he fell to a height that should have killed everybody and anybody that it would happen to, he kind of got up like he was going to finish the race. You know, didn't they have to tell him to stay down, or was it that he actually couldn't move and that they're like, okay, bring over? I wish we still had that.
They
footage.
Had to That's tell him to stay down because he was going to get up and finish the race. Yeah, because he like fell, and I guess shock, you know, you don't feel anything at first, so he's going to get up. It was, I think he said, like, the wind got knocked out of him, and that was, like, all he felt. But they were like,
"Yeah,
could be your fucking vertebrae, so stay on the ground."
Yeah.
Which, and, like, you compare, like, I ripped my knee apart, and I didn't want to get off the ground. He fell, broke his back, and was like, I think I'll finish.
Mm-hmm. I remember when he shared that with that video with me the first time, and it was, like, the first test of the friendship, because I remember within about 50 minutes, I'd sent it back to him with Benny Hill music on it.
Let's see if he can handle this.
That was after the first hangout. After we stopped recording, he was like, if you guys haven't seen the video, I gotta send you the video. It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, because like we weren't sure if like, he was serious. Like, dude, that actually happened to you? Oh my god.
Like, if I saw that online and wasn't talking to the man, I'd be like, I just watched a man die. That's what I just did.
Yeah. It was that total moment with, what's his name? Who was the guy who used to host America's Funniest Home Videos? The, yes, Bob Saget.
Tom Bergeron.
And he, He would always talk about how, like, they would get these like videos sent in, and there was like they're supposed to specifically screen for like snuff and stuff for like that. And he said that there was one where this guy fell off a ladder and was just lying motionless in his driveway for like a good 5-6 minutes straight, to the point where he was already on the phone with them, like, "Did you guys just send me a fucking snuff film? Like, were you joking? Did you send me a death fucking film? Like, you guys know we're not. And then all of a sudden, the guy started moving, and he's just like, "Oh, okay, that was still fucked up. You guys should."
If that was released in theaters, that would be considered like a brave continuous take.
Yeah, right. Like, oh, we just let it keep going.
Oh, great artistic choice.
National TV, Faces of Death.
Yeah, exactly.
And that guy fell off that ladder for three, whereas Tom Cruise got 30 million or whatever for Mission Impossible to break his ankle.
Whoops. Yeah, what the hell's going on here?
I don't know, man. I'm learning the controls on the new toy here. Which also could start going to Facebook Live instantly right now.
Rock on!
Yeah, man. Blue Jeans is pretty cool. Well, maybe they'll sponsor us sometime.
As long as we don't call them DJs, we're fine.
As long as we don't call them what? I think once or twice. I was trying to, like, change the screens. All right, so who else has a story about Todd as we move forward here? Not going to be joining.
All right, I'll hop in real quickly because after... No, I was actually going to say something that really showed me the compassion and the willingness to help people that he always just exuded. Every time, because I had just kind of half broached a topic about doing something with my podcast, and without even breaking a step, he just sends me a message back going, "Oh, please let me add you to this group that I'm a part of. Throw your question out there, check it out, see if these people may be able to help you or something." And I just went, "Dude, that wasn't necessary, but damn, how cool is that? That you're just going to try to put me in touch with other people looking at the same mindset for what I just tossed at you."
Yeah, he wasn't one for like superficial interactions, like, "Hey, yeah, we'll meet up sometime." He was like legitimately like, "Let's connect."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, after the first hangout we did, he Facebook friend requested me right away, and we would chat. You know, he was just a great, like, he did make connections like that. He actively tried to make connections with you.
And then he was also trying to bring us, you know, any of the guests that, like, because he knew people. I mean, like, he had, as part of the craziness of the life story that he had, that we're not going to be able to tell the whole thing here, but details that he's released previously, I guess, I feel like we could talk about. But, you know, the guy spent some time in prison, and some of the people he spent time in prison with were people who were part of, like, Charles Manson's crew, and like he had some like big names that he would name drop, and then was gonna either try to still get us in touch with whoever was still around. He also had people, you know, he did a lot of work with people who were on their way about to be released from prison to kind of like help them transition back into civilian life. And there were a lot of people who started businesses, guys who got themselves, you know, put back together and off the ground. And so he was always looking for ways to kind of hook us up with people with interesting stories, but to kind of help everybody help each other kind of thing, too. So, yeah, he was very much the embodiment of sympathy and empathy. And I think kind of just like that sense of doing the right thing, you know.
And he was very open when he was talking about stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't sugarcoat stuff from his past. He gave you the full story, and you were left to decide how you felt about that or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it wasn't just creative juices either. When you would talk about like training those massive dogs that he has, or like the bees and everything
like
that.
The bees!
Like, he was a very creative person, but then he also needed to exercise the analytical part of his brain, because he would just master something that he knew nothing about. It's just like, I'm gonna do this now.
Yeah.
And he just would.
All of a sudden it was like, yeah, I'm producing honey. And I was like, well, send me some and I'll make my honey tea with it. And all of a sudden a package showed up with two little bottles of Zombie Kata honey in there. And I actually, so this is some of that stuff where, like, you kind of always just, I guess, take for granted that everybody's going to be around. Like, I filmed myself making the honey tea with that honey. I filmed it with my phone. I still have all the clips in my Google Drive. And I just, like, never did anything with it. But I always kept saying, like, oh, yeah, I got to get to making that little honey promo. And we did chat at one point about doing a show about beekeeping. Just because, like, well, fuck it. Why not? You know what I mean? Let's really be one of those sort of all-encompassing video magazine type networks where, yeah, one of our guys on the side is a beekeeper, so now we're gonna tell you how to start your own hive, we're gonna check up on how his colonies are going on. And I remember one of the last recordings we did for Mindhunter season 2, which is still never edited, never released, it was one of the last things I asked him was like, all right man, so when are we getting more honey from the bees, what's going on with book number 35 or 36, whatever you're up to. And it was just one of those, like, he was our Jack Nicholson from As Good As It Gets, right? Like, he just said, oh, yeah, I got 60-something books written. He had, like, over 30 zombie novels written. And he's just like, oh, yeah, you know, we actually found out that we lost a hive, got taken by a swarm. They just took all their honey and left. But we still have 3 strong hives. And I was just like, this is legit. Like, he legitimately has beehives. And this is, like, not just a hobby, a passing thing. He is keeping these things alive. The honey's going to legitimately, like, bees are going to save the world. This guy might be part of the key to humanity surviving the zombie apocalypse for all we know. So that's kind of cool. It was kind of cool. We got that
ironic.
Yeah, right?
Zombie books.
Oh, my God.
I wonder if you only need to swing the other way.
Yeah. I wonder if he would want to come back as a zombie. Probably not, right?
I was actually wanting to speak to the irony of just what you said there, because, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't he training the dogs for water rescue or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And was that tied to him falling in the Iron Man triathlon?
No, the whole zombie thing. Come on now.
I've fallen into water before, so I know what it's like to need to be rescued from the water. Oh my God. Well, it definitely has that feeling of it's not been the same since, you know what I mean? And it's almost, even trying to think about going back to either projects like Tangent City or just because I like to do it. I like to watch the old Haver episodes that we all did together, and it's I have those moments where it's like, man, that feels like it's so long ago because of how different everything is, but it was really only a couple of years. And it was just dawning on me how we can all have so much of an impact on each other's lives in such a short amount of time.
Especially Todd.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I'm a little pissed the last thing you got to experience in this world was the pandemic, the globe, you know what I mean? Like, that's right. Kind of, that sucks. At least he didn't die of COVID-19, but still, like, dude, we didn't get to hang out, you know what I mean? We never got to do the big Terra Firma all winding up in one place and hanging out, and he's going to be someone, we're going to have to raise a drink in his honor when we finally do.
No doubt, he was definitely an extremely genuine person that I'd find it difficult to believe anyone couldn't respect.
Yeah.
Definitely. In a world where there's more and more just, I don't know, fake news, fake this, fake that, Instagram, just your best life, and like everything like that. Like
fake
Todd
people.
Was. Yeah, Todd was real. He was so real, and like with the whole Mind Garden thing, he was so open about such a dark chapter in his life, and then just coming out of that the other side and being such a good, genuine person, like that's something to strive for, you know? Like we haven't experienced anything like that, but that's not to say we won't, and it's not to say we won't come out worse than he did, you know? He's a genuinely good warrior.
And the amazing thing about that was he just volunteered that on the day when we were recording. That wasn't talked about beforehand that he would talk about that. He just decided in the moment to share something that, you know, something that's caused him a lot of issues in his life, with having to move about and stuff. But he was willing, you know, something that was going to go out for anyone to see.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was just because he was warm and open with you and your friendship. And you probably thought you were just a good interviewer.
Yeah.
No, I've never thought that.
You like that backhanded compliment? Sounded good, but think about it for a second. You're like, what?
Drew's like, I'm fucking good, man.
Oh, damn it. I made him cry.
He's too sober these days to think stuff like that.
Yeah. You're not fooling yourself now.
Yeah. I definitely think he'd be one that would want us to be having a party. So this little virtual memorial that we're doing here is really just because of things like the fact that there's a pandemic and that we're all super far away. But, you know, when the dominoes all line up and the Terraform Artist Union has like a actual foothold in the world and we all have an annual awards show and whatever else we're going to wind up doing, we'll definitely make sure that we have to, you know, have a party and raise a drink in his memory knock on wood, anybody else who goes between then and now. So maybe we'll pick up a few more though to kind of keep going. And that's the other hard part is like how to move on. Like, I know he wouldn't want us to not do stuff anymore. He wouldn't want us to just be like, forget it, we can't do Tangent City anymore because that character's gone. He would definitely be wanting us to kind of like be kicking more ass than we did before. So I know for one, the whole thing with him being so health conscious, you know what I mean? Like, he was definitely, because I think, didn't he have a heart attack a couple of years ago? So he was sort of super into the, all right, man, I'm getting my miles, I'm getting my steps. Like, there would be times he would be on calls and he's on the bike. There was a planning call that he was on his stationary bike. He's just like, I got lots of stuff left to do in the world, man. And it was sort of like making me feel like, yo, I got to get off my ass too and just start thinking about things. So that I'm not going to let go of. I think that's definitely, I'm going to keep that inspiration from him as well and get more serious with getting in shape and being healthier for sure. And now that I've said it on here, everybody can keep me honest with it, you know, because he was probably the one I would always feel bad about. Like, if he was like, so, you know, did you do anything today? I'm like, nah, man. Didn't run, didn't do any biking.
He's like, I wrote 3 books today. What'd you do? I got up at 2:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, after, that was also after he got up at like 3 a.m. and voiced 2 other books and ran the 4 miles and then trained the dogs how to save
You're
somebody.
Like, from ate chips and watched a movie I didn't really want to watch anyway.
You're going to do a podcast about for 20 minutes now with some friends. Live a really sedentary life, brother. I'm sitting around a lot.
Bit of tricky shit. Thought I was going to die. That's okay, basically my Sunday.
I'm definitely going to take his work ethic, obviously. But, how just warm and friendly he was to complete strangers right off the bat. Like, it just shows you that, like, you don't need to be cautious around other people. If you show other people love, they'll show it back, you know? Everybody's so divided today. There's so much going on that I feel like a member of the Beatles right now, that preaching love, but, like, for real, you know? Todd was just such a genuinely lovely guy, you know? We had a couple conversations, but I only knew him for a couple of years through certain hangouts, and I feel still like he has such a big impact on me. He was just such a genuine guy. And always preach love, and I feel like we need more of that. And I feel like I'm going to try to do that more. Not get too angry so quick. Just help people. He helped people.
Yeah.
You know? He was productive, and then he also reached out and helped people. He was never off.
Yeah.
Yeah, he always extended a hand.
Yeah.
And he had that, like, that big brother kind of like father figure, you know, kind of, you almost felt like if he could give you the shirt off his back to help you, he would, even if he had to send it to you from across the country. You know what I mean? It was always like, yeah. And just how enthusiastic he was about being a part of us and being a voice in our world. And it's kind of like, it's going to be hard to, it's going to be hard to feel okay about stuff like that, you know, with other people. It always is. It always feels like, you know, I don't know. Like, I definitely, like, for a couple of days, I was walking around a little, like, man, I don't know how much more of this world I could take like this. You know what I mean? This is, there's things that hurt and things you don't think about that are going to hurt. And,
definitely.
This was one of those things that you never wanted to think about. But, you know, I'm glad I knew him. I wish I knew him longer. I wish I knew him better. I wish I had gotten to hang out with him in person.
Yeah.
So. Oh, definitely. And, I mean, I'll recount the story from when I found out that it had happened. Just because of the fact that, you know, I worked during the day, blah, blah, blah. Got the Facebook feed going and saw that. And I was like, seriously? Wait. Because anything you see on Facebook, you always kind of second guess yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah. But I pulled off of the road for a second and I took another glance at it and then I bounced over to a couple other things and I was like, holy shit, are you serious? And I sent my partner a message. I was like, seriously, I think Todd just passed away today. I don't know what to do with this at the moment. Yeah. And her first response was, holy shit, are you okay? Seriously, he did have that ability to impact people that much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when I saw the message on his wife's page, I immediately sent it to Drew and be like, have you heard anything about this? Like, I need, like, you usually hear stuff before any of us. So I was like, if you've heard this, then I'm going to believe this. But until I get some confirmation, I think her page might have been hacked. Sure. But then, as Todd does, she had a couple pages and it was across all the pages. And then people were responding to it that I think were people who are obviously a lot more close in-person friends with them. So it was sort of like, oh, crap. And it was, it's almost like on the level of like the way when you first realized it was happening on 9/11, you're just like, what? And this is never going to go back from this. Like, this is non-changeable. What I just learned is, oh, son of a bitch. Okay. And
I didn't see it on Facebook. I saw it through the messenger, and like we have a chat where it's just jokes that we sling back and forth all day. So yeah. I opened it up expecting to see something funny, you know, and it was not that way. And like I said, I was in denial for several days. Like, literally not until you sat down and you showed us the slideshow did it really hit me.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was not easy to work on that. But I also feel like it's the kind of thing that he probably wouldn't have even wanted us to work on it. But then when he saw it, he would be like, oh, wow, you know, that was really nice, guys. Even like when I told Denise we were doing this, she was just like, I love you guys. And we're like, you know, we love you too. If there's anything we could do, I know there's the GoFundMe that their friends set up. So we definitely want to mention that. And we'll put up a link to that. I'm going to share it on the Hollow Nine page. We can share it on in the Terraform Artists Union. But anything that could help that would, be greatly appreciated. And I think that it's funny. I mean, like the fact that even like a GoFundMe exists as a thing, as much as people are going to abuse it and people have abused it, it is at least the sort of world's response now to like, hey, look, you know, there's people around. And even if they're not within arm's length to hand you something to help you, there are people who will try to help you too. So, you know, there's at least a platform for that. So there's just hope.
I'm going to interject right there just because I thought GoFundMe was a complete bullshit from the beginning. But when someone else starts a GoFundMe to try to help out, I think that really proves the fact that they realize your situation and they're wanting to help. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So please, if you guys can, go jump on there and help out. I can't even imagine what life must be like for everybody who is as close to him, you know, like directly close to him. For if we're hurting this much and we were just like, you know, what you used to call in the 90s internet friends. And now it's sort of like this is how people are friends these days. And I think this is a huge testament to how big a friend he was to all of us. And I miss him a lot. I don't know when I'm going to stop missing him. I don't think ever. And I hope when we do our State of the Unions, he kind of joins us and hangs out for a little while. If you could send us a sign of some kind, my friend, from the other side, like just like Houdini, you know, we're
ask that. It'll send zombies.
We're waiting for the lights to start flickering or something. to let us know that you're...
Maybe you already did. You said murder.
You'll just see Dave's head ripped off.
Yeah, well, you notice that Google wasn't working when we first tried to get this thing going tonight. I wonder if there was something going on there. Sort of like, oh, hey, the entire platform has changed. Nice. Simple two buttons that we could click before. We have to go through other means. So now here we are on a different platform.
When you sent the message to me saying that you'd seen the thing about him passing away, I'd seen something maybe an hour before, but I thought it was fake. Because he has people from his past that are, for the lack of a better word, are cunts.
Yeah.
They post shit like that on a regular basis. Like a year ago, there was a fake one for him being dead a year ago.
Oh, wow.
And I'd seen it, thought it was fake. Had also just seen one for Robert Davey, who I'm friends with.
Yeah.
And so I was contacting people about that because he's an older gentleman. It's more realistic. So I was contacting about that, and then you came through and I was like, well, maybe this has some weight behind it. And then I started investigating it. And then when you see that his wife shared it, you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
Like that she's not going to share it. In fact, she's in the house with him, so you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's one of those, it proper hits you and you feel kind of like you can't do anything because you could be living like a town away, but you know, with the lockdown and all that, you can't really do anything anyway.
Yeah.
But to be on the opposite side of the planet, you can't do anything to help in any way. It's fucked up.
And you didn't get to say goodbye because we didn't think we were going to have to, you know, like, so this is the closest we're going to be able to get to that. And, you know, I don't think people are really ever 100% gone, not to sound like Rise of Skywalker, but if there's little things like that that we can hold on to and think, you know, if he is one of the Jedi and all of us could be all the Jedi now, we could turn this into a bit of a Star Wars rant to make it a little bit more of our common kind of thing, because it's really hard for this to not get down too quickly. But yeah, man, like, he's still around. I think he's still going to be celebrating everything with us, and he's going to be just as happy for us when we do bring, you know, Tangent City back or we do our next big project. And, you know, I think there's always room for a TW Memorial Award for anything or a TW Memorial show, like an annual, you know, the TW Telethon to raise money for X, whatever it is, to just keep the legacy of his, you know, good nature and the memory of that alive. I think that's something we should probably just kind of keep in our back pocket and keep top of mind as we move forward. I'm meandering and I'm probably going to start crying soon. So does anybody have anything they can think of that they want to say before we maybe say goodbye and thank you and good journey to our friend?
I think we're all putting on a brave face right now and we're about this close to just breaking down.
Yeah.
Just we love him and we'll miss him.
Yeah, man. Well,
absolutely. I've lost a lot of people in the past year and a half, so yeah, it's rough no matter when it hits.
Yeah. We will never see his like again. But his watch has ended, so he gets to no longer have to deal with all the rest of the bullshit we do. So, in that regard, man, this one is for Todd T.W. Brown. We miss you, bud.
Hey, brother.
All right, this is officially the most depressing recording we've ever done.
That's saying something, because how many have we done the Ripco on it?
Oh, Jesus. Come on over. Hold on. I'm going to give the mic to Carrie real quick. She's going to join us before we say goodbye.
I don't know where your camera is, though. Hello. Hey, guys.
That's Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Anish,
yeah.
And Blaine is the guy in the dark screen you can't see. This is
Carrie. Hi.
And you know Drew.
Hi, guys. So nice to see
all
you.
Of us are crying.
Lovely tribute. And I have to tell you, I just thought of the perfect way to send Todd out. as a tribute is I know that he likes to do the reading of the stories. I think your tribute is you reach out to one of the publishers, you tell them you want an excerpt. All of you manly men, you get on there, you each pick a role, and you guys act out in a live podcast.
Oh, shit.
Maybe with hand puppets at the same time in tribute to Todd and your sassiest little sexy man roles that you can.
Oh my
that's
god.
That's my idea.
You do know Blaine's middle name is Hand Puppets.
No, I just want to say hi. And this idea was like bubbling up in me. I thought, maybe this isn't the time, but if y'all are crying, I might as well throw something in that'll change the tune a little.
Can this app live stream to Pornhub too?
Yes, of course. Alright, sorry.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Got all Ringer's Theater.
I thought it was fun. Our chats are kind of like a chat room, but without any of the nudie touching going on, so apart from Blaine.
Oh, man. So we gotta do that now. I think that's a good idea. I mean, she's actually like looking up what his publishers are and trying to find out to contact them. So,
the glasses are over here. I don't know if you need these.
I don't know if you guys heard that, but she said it was very nice to kind of meet you. So,
definitely.
Yeah, she hears about you guys a lot, so it was good to put some faces with some names. Although she's only seen black and white photos of Drew, she has no idea what Drew looks like in color.
Nobody does.
Nobody does.
Let me just do Roy from IT for a moment and say, have you tried turning it off and on?
Ah, you watch that show too?
Oh my god.
I love that show.
Joining us also at the table tonight, Special Agent T.W. Brown, how are you?
Always good on a weekend, like, I'll check your local listings, but it's a weekend where I'm at. Our pup is at just over 10 months old. She's already 151 pounds. Her sister that's almost 3 is only 124. I'm working on them with water rescue. We're getting ready to start draft car work. The pup's gonna dip our toe in the show ring, see what the judges say at first.
Todd, is book number 35 underway? What's going on? Where are we? When are we getting more honey from the bees? Tell us everything.
We found out that one of our hives has swarmed on us. We lost a hive to a swarm. It is completely empty. They've taken all the stores and moved on. I have 3 very strong hives going into the winter, so we'll keep that update going as long as those numbers stay good. So yes, the new book did just come out, and initial numbers are good. Reviews are really strong. Nobody's too upset by the disturbing scenes in this one. A lot of audiobooks. Yeah, book 4 of the new Dead series just dropped this week, titled Don Evans Must Die. I've cleared this afternoon thing on Saturday so that we can get together. So let's just keep rolling at this time. We'll grab the next show. Depending on when you hear this, this is, for me, the 6-month national nightmare is over as the NFL season has finally resumed. So, check local listings for, whenever this plays. But yeah, it's opening weekend. So for me, this is like first Christmas.